Good morning, everyone. It's 8 minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us this morning, whether it was on purpose or by accident. Either way, I'm thrilled. Bill Arnold here, and we're talking this morning a little bit about the Powerball frenzy that's now behind us. But trust me, it will ramp up again very soon because it will start all over again. And is it a good idea? Should Christians engage in this kind of discussions or activity? And have the states become hustlers of its citizens? There's gambling everywhere now. And our guest this morning on the studio line is Melinda Litchfield. She's from StopPredatoryGambling.org. She's got a powerful testimony herself of her history with gambling. And we're just delighted to have you on the line.
Good morning.
Melinda,
how are you?
I'm good. So nice to talk to you again. All right. I don't even know where to begin because this $1.6 billion Powerball payoff had people completely nuts, didn't it?
It absolutely did, and I will tell you that I'm very glad it's over.
Oh, me too.
Me too.
That's just not. We're not talking about it anymore for now.
But it'll come, as you said, it'll happen again, and you know there's no way of escaping it, and it'll be the mania will be you know all over us. You just really can't escape it, and I think I got to where I just wouldn't watch TV, I wouldn't listen to the radio, and I think that was for many people in my circle of you know recovering. Gamblers,
mm-hmm.
because we just didn't want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I hit on this before when I spoke to you about the analogy with alcoholism and it's excuse me, it's just not really seen in the same light. I think, and this was common conversation in Gamblers Anonymous meetings, how so many people would say, "Oh, come on, you can just buy one." It'd be like saying to an alcoholic. Come on, you can just have one drink.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, so when you look at the ways in which, and I think I've probably said this now three times, that I feel like the states are hustling its citizens because we're trying to get them into this game and spend their money, and it seems like that's just not a good idea.
Well, of course, you know, lotteries in general, you know, not just the Powerball, mm-hmm. they target and they encourage, you know, lower income individuals and families into a cycle, really, that directly prevents them from improving their financial status and takes advantage and leverages their desire to escape poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, that's all over, even in the advertisements. You're not going to see the big billboards. You know, this is appropriate for Martin Luther King Day yesterday. As a matter of fact, because there is a billboard here in the south side of Chicago that has an image of Martin Luther King, you know, live the dream. This is your escape. This is your ticket out. And it's an advertisement for lottery tickets.
Wow.
In one of the poorest, one of the poorest parts of Chicago in relationship to Martin Luther King. Tell me how fundamentally, you know, wrong that is.
Yeah, that's terrible. So when I think of is there anything like a Christian can do to stay involved in the conversation? And I had this thought, and I'd be curious to get your take on it. If there's a Powerball pool at the office, should a Christian put their $2 in and get involved? And my thought was, well, gosh, if somebody says, so if you won the Powerball, what would you do with it? Well, thanks for asking that, because as a follower of Jesus Christ, I would first of all start by funding all the missionaries at my church. Or
yeah.
something like that. Is there an opportunity to take this otherwise horrible situation the way it preys on poor people? And
you know, I think there is. I think you just hit on a real important point because although I don't know if it would come to fruition, because I think, again, I've had many conversations about this, and there are so many people who live the Christian life who and they buy the Powerball ticket. They have that... they have that goal in mind, is to what you just said. I'll give it back to my church. I'll give it to the poor people in the community. You know, they don't have that conversation of I'm going to go out and buy the newest Jaguar or the newest Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
So it is kind of a double-edged sword that way.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think of, you know, I don't even know if this is a good idea. I'm just asking you. I mean, for $2, I get a chance to share my faith in the office. You know, and it seems like it's a pretty good opportunity,
yeah.
and it only cost me $2.
Well, it does only cost you $2, but again, you have to look at what are your odds of winning, first of all.
Oh, I'm not interested. Wouldn't be interested in that at all.
Right.
Yeah.
You would just be saying this is my opportunity that if I did by any chance win, that I would be monumentally helping
It would give me an opportunity to be engaged in the conversation at work, saying, so if you That's won, true. What would you do with it? You know, and I go, well, here's what I'd do with it.
That's true. That's true. And that opens up that door, which other people may not be discussing. That's mm-hmm. absolutely right.
Okay, Melinda, let's talk a little bit about the predatory nature of gambling. I think your story consists of years and years ago, you and your husband drove 60 miles to a casino to have an evening out together, which was delightful. And now within a half a mile radius of your house, there's 20 places you could gamble.
Yes, there is. And I live in a state where they are the state, you know, Illinois, which is in a mess financially, and they are addicted. The state is addicted to gambling. And I speak in front of the gaming board all the time, and I talk about the fact that, I mean, a woman in my circle, and this is a true story, 2 weeks ago just downed all her blood pressure medication and didn't wake up the next day. And that's because she had walked away from that life that had so destroyed her and devastated her, which it did to me. And with the proliferation of these gambling venues on every street corner and every bar and every restaurant all over the place, she just could not avoid the temptation, and she went back to it. And do you think the state cares about that? They don't. It's so predatory in nature, like mm-hmm. you said, so vulnerable, so predatory towards groups of people, I mean, towards everyone, really, but towards groups of people that are the most vulnerable, such as our, low-income wage earners, women, senior citizens are getting hammered on this issue, mm-hmm. just totally lost in this issue. Mm-hmm. So there's no other way to say that it's predatory with very little protection elements, components built into it mm-hmm. to not only identify people that are going down that road of being problem gamblers, but then once they've identified them as potential problem gamblers, to protect them from gambling anymore.
Right.
There's no protection there whatsoever.
Right. Melinda, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, I've got many more questions, so please stay tuned. It's 16 minutes after the hour. I'll be back in just a minute. Minutes after the hour, welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold with you today, and I'm talking to Melinda Litchfield from Stop Predatory Gambling, and we're talking about the aftermath of the Powerball, and another one will be starting soon. Melinda, you have recovered yourself and are recovering from a gambling addiction. Talk about what goes on in the brain. A friend of mine is saying that he watched a guy walk up to the roulette counter once, put $4,000 down, lose on one roll of the dice, and walk away utterly emotionless.
I think I referenced before, there's a book out there called Addiction by Design, and this is written by Natasha Schull, who's an MIT professor, and she for years followed people and got into the whole mantra of the compulsive gambler. And I think I shared with you before, you know, I have a master's degree in nursing. I was a very successful person, and it didn't matter. You know, when I sat in front of that slot machine and poured hundreds of dollars in there, it was like I was just out of body. It didn't matter. You're living two different lives.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, for people like me who have this certain brain, you know, the synapses in our brain work a different way than other people's, which I think I also told you is no different than any other addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've proven that the dopamine receptors are triggered, just like if you shoot yourself up with some heroin,
mm-hmm.
you know, really the same situation. But if you're talking specifically about the Powerball also, you know, to buy a ticket for the Powerball isn't at all, if you can believe it, for the money. It's for the rush in my world. And you know, of course, the money is nice, isn't that something? It's like an afterthought
mm-hmm.
of any kind of gambling. Once you become heavily addicted,
mm-hmm.
it's the people will say. I mean, the most exciting time of gambling isn't when you're sitting at the roulette table, like your friend said, isn't when you're at the blackjack table, isn't at the slot machine. It's when you have the money in your pocket and you know you're going to be going.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to be getting that high.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if I can explain it. I know I lived it. It's god awful. It's a beast, and I don't wish it on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's just so many more because of the gambling is just everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It really we need to go back to the 1920s when they threw the slot machines in the river. I mean, it just really, there's a reason why. Well, they did. Governor, you know, New York, the mayor did that in New York. But there's a reason why. The reason why it was illegal for mm-hmm. most of the 20th century.
And that's when sales in scuba gear went very high. Get underwater and start playing those machines. You talked about having a master's degree in nursing. I know you were a senior nurse at a very good hospital in the Chicago area, and that yet your addiction took you to places where you would be at the casinos throughout the night, not sleeping. And I remember you telling me once that there was a person there at the casino that has a heart attack, and as a nurse, you practically, I think you do save their life, but you really can't tell anyone you did that because, you know, you couldn't tell anyone you were gambling through the night.
No, I talk about it being the day that my addiction met my profession when, there was a woman at the casino whose son started calling for help. And, you know, it's innate in nurses. I was an intensive care unit nurse, an ER nurse. It's part of us to do, you know, these good Samaritan acts. You know, I've done CPR in grocery stores. And I think almost any nurse will tell you if they witness something like that or witness somebody that needs help, they go to them immediately and they just kick into the mode and they know what to do. But that particular day, I was at my slot machine, and I was doing well. And it was on the third call for help that I finally went over there and did CPR on her, and she did survive. She did do all right. But, yes, you would have thought that would have been the day that I would have thought I would have had an epiphany, if you will, and say, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing to myself?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going down this road? But it didn't, and you're right. I did not tell anybody about it because I was ashamed that it was at the casino.
Mm-hmm. Although it appears innocent to buy a ticket for $2, they're really, what you're saying is, ultimately, I guess I would rather have just a bunch of money come into my life than actually get on my knees and depend on God for everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There, you know, it maybe goes back to that there's something for nothing. And then, you know, piggybacking on that, if you actually look, there are several stories of people's lives that have been disaster after they won these big mega tickets.
Mm-hmm.
They've been killed. They're bankrupt after so many years. They
mm-hmm.
gamble it all away. They have, you know, people that want to murder them. They have, you know, their lives are not wonderful just because they won all this money. There's often so many sinful people and predatory than, you know, people that come after you, that happens afterwards.
Oh, right.
It's not a ticket for you know, freedom and for joy the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah, and if you have this newfound freedom and money, maybe you want to do an upgrade on your spouse and you want to do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know,
well, the divorce rate among, I mean, that's that. The divorce rate among people that have won big tickets, I think above $1 million, is something like upwards of 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Suicides, murders. You know, it that's all out there. So, you know, and then whoever wants to win that, though, that won't happen to me, and I'm not going to let that happen. But people don't know. You don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. But when you look at the primary target of people who are spending the most amount of money on Powerball tickets, who have the least understanding of math, and who have probably money that they're spending on Powerball tickets, they should be spending on putting maybe food on the table. I think there was a statistic that said people who make $200 a week are spending 40 of that on Powerball tickets.
That's probably correct. And that's not just Powerball. That's, again, that's universally through the lotteries. And people that make less than $30,000 a year, if you ask them,
mm-hmm.
something like 80-some percent of them think that is their ticket to financial wealth. That is their – that basically amounts to their retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Melinda, we just have about a minute left, and I love the name of your website, the one you work for, the StopPredatoryGambling.org. And at first I thought, I don't know if I like that concept, and the more I thought about it, I mean, the enemy is very predatory in nature, and why not try to put more opportunities for people to fall everywhere he can?
That's correct. And we had to connect the word predatory because that is it, in a nutshell, is this whole, the industry is so extremely predatory. We could not just say that as a description of what it, we had to connect gambling and predatory together in one name, and that's how they come up.
And we could also connect pornography and predatory together as well if we wanted to, because, you know, can any person open a computer without some reference to something? that's salacious and all of a sudden drawing people into an area that they shouldn't go in the first place.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right.
So, yeah. So in other words, let's be cautious. Let's be prayerful. Let's be careful about, how we have just to have conversations with people about the whole nature of predatory gambling.
I do it and we do find that more and more people are using that in the same text. You know, the more that we're out there, the more that people write about this, they see the dangers, they see the community effects. They are using, by and large, the word predatory comes in there somewhere, always in the text and how they're describing it, because there's no doubt that it's predatory in nature.
Yeah.
We all know what predatory means. It's a negative connotation.
Right.
It is what it means.
Right. Melinda, you're awesome. Thanks so much for being a guest on the show. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
26 minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold here. I'll be back in just a minute.